And now, Forward with Falk. Join Scranton political observer Dave Falk and WFTE's Jake Rosen as they navigate their way through the political thicket. Dave, this weekend is the third anniversary of Donald Trump's attempted, ill-conceived, badly organized, clownishly implemented, attempted insurrection. But still, with all of that, it had serious repercussions for American politics, and it hasn't gone away. It dominates the coming election.
Well, Jake, it was only an insurrection in the eyes of people who are knowing and understand those things. In the eyes of the Trumpists and the eyes of the Republicans who don't have enough gumption to stand up to him, it wasn't.
But you're talking about 77% of the Republican Party who don't think that there was anything wrong with January 6th's events.
Right, or that they were actually patriotic events.
Yeah, exactly.
And they were events that really were justified because they still believe that the election was stolen and that the people involved did nothing wrong. Trump is saying that he would pardon all those people that have taken guilty pleas or been found guilty.
He said he would apologize on behalf of the American government to all of those people.
Yeah. And this week we had Nikki Haley come out and said she would pardon Donald Trump. Should he be found? Meanwhile, we're still a way away from that because we now have a Supreme Court that's going to be deciding the issue that were raised in Colorado and more recently Maine as to whether or not the 14th Amendment bars Trump from running as president. And that would be coming up soon. And we discussed, I think last week, the different layers that have to be decided on in those cases. What's an insurrection? Do you have to be convicted of a crime? What are the proper procedures? Is it self-fulfilling? Doesn't Congress have to act in order to have this? All of these different things are going to come before the court. And one of the problems is with time, because ballots need to be printed before primary elections, and there has to be a lead time. Now, one thing that could happen is after the Supreme Court hears the case, they could issue a ruling and say opinions to follow. That's rarely done. It's done, I've seen it done on the district court level with injunctions. And sometimes you get it on, I think we had it in one of the Trump issues in the circuit courts. But you rarely see that in the United States Supreme Court. But of course, the exigencies of the moment may require that. And then we have the other issue that they're going to take up, which is the question as to whether or not he's immune. That the president is immune from any type of criminal procedure while president. Anything.
Do you think that, supposing the Supreme Court does what I imagine they'd like to do, the majority anyway would like to do, which is to say that the president is immune, and they do, and let's say they do say that. Well, how do you think that will work its way through the population at large?
Again, it's going to be a split. It's going to be a split. And
well, a third of the population, a third of the adults, a third of the electorate, right, they're Trumpists. We know that. That leaves two-thirds.
Yeah.
Now, if the two-thirds of the country are outraged, then what?
Yeah. I'm not, Jake, I'm not so sure that the Supreme Court isn't going to find that there, that immunity is in some ways limited to presidential acts and not to criminal things.
But then how did they let Trump off the hook?
Well, they let him off the hook by saying that it wasn't an insurrection. And they let the process...
Do they have the right to decide on issues of fact? I thought that was something that the trial court did, and that was that. It was only matters of law that they dealt with.
Right. Well, that's the way it's supposed to run.
Yeah.
But there are certain issues, and I think I said this last week, where the Supreme... I know, like in Pennsylvania, the Supreme Court can say, we're not bound by the facts below. These things are so either fundamental or so important that we can decide facts de novo on our own. And I could see that happening. But politically, especially with Roberts and Kavanaugh, to a lesser extent, Barrett, I'm leaving out, of course, Alito and Thomas. They may be looking at this thing and saying, we would be doing the Republican Party a big favor if we rule against Trump on certain things.
Mm-hmm.
The Republican Party right now is, they're going down the road and doubling and tripling down on things that are highly, highly unpopular.
But is it conceivable to you that the Republican Party's lead candidate is going to be declared illegal to take office and therefore illegal to run by the Republican Supreme Court?
No, I think that the Republican Supreme Court is going to let him run.
Yeah.
But I think that they still say that he could be criminally charged for certain acts that are what we call ultra vires, beyond his powers.
Mm-hmm.
You get up before the Supreme Court, and, the person arguing against Trump says, okay, so the president of the United States decides that he wants to assassinate a Supreme Court justice,
mm-hmm.
and orders that. Mm-hmm. You folks are all good with that?
Mm-hmm.
Bring it right home to them. Now, of course, Clarence Thomas is a different story. Because he hasn't indicated he will recuse himself on anything. There was an interesting thing happened earlier in the week, though. Donald Trump's lawyer, the woman lawyer, I can't remember her name, came out and basically said what Trump has always talked about, that his appointees owe him.
Yes, she said that Kavanaugh owes him.
Yes.
She mentioned Kavanaugh by name.
By name.
Yeah.
So it's going to be an interesting thing to see what Kavanaugh does, whether he has to recuse himself. And, that could put it in a 4-4 decision.
That, all right.
Which lets the lower court decision prevail.
That would be interesting.
Yeah. But if he doesn't.
But wait a minute, 4-4. Who's the four? Roberts?
Roberts, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
If he recuses himself and Clarence Thomas doesn't, again, that again brings more disrepute to the Supreme Court. But Thomas doesn't care. We've learned that,
and
Alito doesn't care.
No,
these folks are of a. It's a different world. It's a different world. There's no more shame. There are things that people, and to some extent, it goes with both parties. George Santos wouldn't resign, and all this stuff. The head of the GOP in Florida, with the scandal broke out with the Moms for Liberty wife that he has, that having a threesome, wouldn't resign. We have Bob.
Well, he was willing to resign if the Republicans paid him $1 million to do so.
Something. Yeah, they reduced his salary to $1. Menendez wouldn't resign,
and still hasn't resigned.
He still hasn't resigned, and he's still sitting on.
And now he's accused of more stuff, right?
Yeah, with Cutter.
But wait a minute. Aside from all of that, so
right.
So now Biden has made a speech,
yes.
First campaign event of this campaign,
yeah. Yeah.
And he concentrates on democracy.
Right.
Is that a good enough response?
It's necessary but not sufficient. as they say. It's part of it. And
but he didn't go further. That's where he went.
Well, but you know, it's a piece of when I was always preparing a case for trial, I looked at it as if I'm building a wall and there's bricks in the wall,
mm-hmm.
and things I wanted to establish.
Mm-hmm.
And this is one of the big bricks that mm-hmm. they want to establish, but it's not the only one.
Mm-hmm.
He's got the abortion issue. He's got the drug issue. Those kind of things. He's got the.
My feeling is that his definition of democracy is too narrow. I don't disagree that it's a case of democracy on the one hand and fascism on the other hand, but democracy is not merely a set of rules for running elections. Democracy has a normative aspect to it. It should be yes. a government guided by policies that benefit working people, which are the large majority of the people of the population. And that means health care. That means higher wages. That means adequate and good housing. That means good education. That means everything that working people need. That's democracy. Not just that elections should be fair.
Jake, it's not just working people. It's what all people need. There are people who aren't working.
But the people, no, the retired people are also working people. They're part of that population. The only other group of people are people who can afford all those things. They don't need to be benefited. But the government has to benefit the people who can't afford those things from their paycheck.
Yeah, it's promote the general welfare.
Exactly. Part of that, exactly. And if you don't expand the notion of democracy so that people understand that that includes all of that, then you can't fight the libertarians who say government have no role to play, or they say you're on your own, society doesn't exist, and you can't fight the fascists who say, well, no, we'll do that for working people, provided you get rid of the blacks, provided you get rid of the immigrants, provided whoever.
Yeah, well, but don't forget the other side is the hypocrisy Congress or the hypocrisy cult, so to speak. We have Steve Scalise, who's the majority whip, mm-hmm. I believe, in the House.
Mm-hmm.
He was shot
mm-hmm.
By a Bernie Sanders supporter years ago. I happened to run into him. I was in Congress one day and with Matt Cartwright, our congressman, and Scalise was still recovering. He was still on a crutch. I saw him, and he had a pretty good recovery from that. He benefited from the fact that he had his health care was provided by the government, and now he needs a stem cell transplant. And here's a guy who's voted against any restrictions on guns, and he's voted against stem cell research, and he still wants to benefit from all of these things. And that's what all these guys do in Congress. They voted against the infrastructure bill, and then when infrastructure comes to the district, they're out there with the picks and shovels and the hard hats getting pictures.
Yeah, Lauren Boebert is a prime example.
Exactly. Well, she just had to move districts.
Yeah, but she'll go to that district and claim credit for whatever the infrastructure bill will give her.
Yeah, she's got other issues, and we've got that.
But if Steve Scalise is going to take stem cell treatment, doesn't that, he'll be out for at least 3, 4, 5, 6 weeks. You're in isolation with that kind of treatment. You don't end up on the floor of Congress.
Right.
That brings them down to two votes? Majority?
Well, they'll have three for a while, and then at the end of the month, one of the other members of Congress, one of the Republicans, is resigning in order to take a presidency of a college.
Mm-hmm.
So they'll be down to two. They'll be down to two votes. And with Scalise out, it might even be a single vote. And it's going to be interesting because, don't forget, lurking in the background and rapidly moving to the forefront is the funding of the government again.
That's later this month.
Yes.
Not even so much later. A couple of weeks. One or 2 weeks.
Yeah. Less than 2 weeks.
Yeah.
Let's see what kind of magic the new speaker can trade. But, of course...
But he doesn't want to do it anyway.
No, but what they're doing this week is they're going to try to impeach the Homeland Security secretary. Because that gets, what, views on Fox.
This Congress last year passed 27 bills into law. I mean, they didn't get signed into law, but they passed, the House passed 27 bills. That's a year's production, 27 bills. That's shameful. When you consider that 12 of the bills have to be passed because that funded the government, that means that on top of the 12 bills that they had to pass to fund the government, they passed 13 bills. What the hell is that all about?
Well, I don't know. Maybe one or two of them were to name post offices.
They might have been. That's right. They might have been totally inconsequential bills.
Well, remember Jim Jordan has been in Congress, 16 years, and he's never passed a bill?
Never. No.
And he's in leadership.
Right. And he wanted to be the leader.
Yes. His name was out there for a while.
Yeah.
Didn't go beyond, two or three ballots?
But even so, two or three ballots. God.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well,
you were talking about something before, and I wanted to bring it up. The Republicans have spent years. Remember, I talked about thinking long term, and they've spent years trying to downplay or outright destroy institutions. And because institutions are what hold, one is they set norms, and two, they hold people accountable. And they no longer wish to be accountable. This week, they had a major victory over the institutions of colleges and universities when the president of Harvard resigned. And gave impetus to this anti-DEI movement that's been out there to destroy ideas of diversity,
inclusion,
and equality. Mm-hmm. And to some extent, the liberals have, brought it on or played into that. That meme and that movement. If you remember Barack Obama, one of the things he said is don't do anything stupid. Mm-hmm. And certainly we can say that the president's a pen and the president of Harvard did stupid things.
Well, they got the president of Harvard for a series of low-level plagiarism accusations. Right. I mean, if everyone... Right. And she said, yeah, I did that, but... Basically, that was not outside the boundaries of how you do research and attribute research.
Yeah, but basic research was upheld.
Right, exactly.
Attacked her ideas or her research. They said the way she wrote about it was the problem.
Right. So the lead attacker is a guy named Bill Ackman.
Yeah.
A graduate of Harvard and a big contributor to Harvard, a hedge fund guy. Who is among the most right-wing hedge fund politicians you're likely to find anywhere. At the end of this week, it was revealed that his wife is guilty of egregious plagiarism in getting her PhD.
Yeah, that's...
Now, how about that?
Well, that's what... and, of course, he's... He's out there disputing all of that, but
He doesn't dispute that happened because it can't be disputed.
He attacked the messenger.
Yeah,
he said the Business Insider contacted me 20 minutes before they were going to go to deadline or something, didn't give me the information so that I could fact check and blah 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 blah. But now we're into a. I can use the term a high-level pissing contest.
That's exactly, but that's the point. Here's a guy whose backyard is as bad, worse than what he's claiming happened in Harvard.
But those things never work out well for the people who want to try to bring sanity. It just turns people off to the system, and
that's
it turns
true.
Them off to institutions.
Yeah.
So, you have... gets back to the Michelle Obama thing, when they go low, we go high. But the fact of the matter is, everything's winding up in the gutter these days.
And this fellow Christopher Rufo, who is aligned with Ackman in this attack on Harvard is just chortling and chortling and chortling.
Yeah.
So.
We see that, but they, you know, a good part of this attack is on that diversity.
Yeah.
And we're back to the fact that in the background, nobody likes that blacks, and particularly a black woman, has a position of power.
Right. Because the foundation of all of this, in the end, is racism.
Yeah. I mean, you see the attacks on Kamala Harris. You've seen the attacks on Ketanji Brown Jackson. We've seen the attacks on press secretary, Pierre, Jean-Pierre.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, Claudine Gay, we've seen the attacks on as well. But again, some of these people have left themselves vulnerable.
That's true. That's true. But what do you think about Nikki Haley? What do you think about Nikki Haley, who won't say that slavery caused the Civil War until somebody says, what about slavery? Oh, yeah, right. Of course, of course. Right. But, you know, I had black friends growing up. Imagine that a politician running for president actually says that out loud. I had black friends growing up. I mean, if you read that in a comic book, you'd say preposterous. People don't talk like that anymore.
Well, some of my best friends are Jewish, right?
Same thing, right? Same thing. Same line.
Same line.
Same line.
Again, the only thing is that the right wing is much more forgiving of their people
The right wing is racist. They support that. They're not opposed to it. They're supporting it. That's one of the reasons you have to fight them. They're against diversity, inclusion, and fighting inequality because they believe in inequality. They don't believe in diversity. They are against inclusion.
Like I said, it's not just on race, it's on gender.
Yeah,
You know, we have that case out of the Fifth Circuit now, out of Texas, where the...
You think we could convince the Mexicans to take Texas back? I mean, DeSantis wants to invade Texas, but I'm wondering whether or not we can't bribe them to take Texas back.
I'm not sure they'd want it.
I'm sure they don't.
But,
right.
Oh, they might take Six Flags, you know, at a resort or something. But
maybe they force us to keep the Texans. I don't know. Who knows?
They were called Texicans.
Texicans, yeah.
But I was saying, you know, that circuit court opinion. There's a law that about emergency medicine and that you can't turn certain people away.
A federal law.
Federal law.
Yeah.
However, there was that case where the woman her was in her pregnancy was doomed, and it was affecting her health and potentially her life, and the lower court and the Texas and the Fifth Circuit said that under that law, they don't have to treat you. They don't have to give you an abortion. In other words, the woman has to risk dying or die on this. And basically, of course, because they're pro-life.
Yes, they're pro-life. Therefore, the mother should die.
Yeah. What they are is, you know, pro-forcing births. whether or not the baby could live is another story. Is another story, and I guess
it's a deeply inhuman point of view. Deeply inhuman.
They're prosecuting another woman who had a miscarriage at home for abusing corpse. You know.
Yeah.
There's nothing that they won't do to go after women, even though, as I said, the vast majority of people are opposed to this. And they keep doubling and tripling down. So you get back to Biden, you put this with the democracy issue, and all of a sudden people
Well, don't you have to then say that democracy has to include this? This is what democracy means, that this can't go on. Because the Republicans say this has to go on, and Biden and Trump is saying Biden is the guy who's killing democracy because he doesn't let me run.
Yes.
And if you let Trump define democracy, he'll win.
Yes. He's very good at that.
Yeah.
And then you also have the gun issue. Remember this week we had another shooting, mass shooting at a school in Iowa. And Ron DeSantis' response to that was, get over it.
Get over it.
That was it.
Get over it.
Get over it. You know, we can't do anything about our gun laws. On those things, again, against what most people want.
Get over it. I mean, if you know, they say that DeSantis is, his whole shtick is, I got policies that are good for you. And take a look at those policies.
Well, he had a great line, though, and Biden borrowed some of it or came up, I won't say plagiarized it, but...
He attributed it.
Whatever. You know, DeSantis, I saw it in that town hall, and he said, DeSantis said, Trump is running for himself, Nikki Haley is running for her donors, and I'm running for you.
Yeah, I'm running for you. And meanwhile, he's for the flat tax. He's against teaching American history. He's for banning books. He has a health secretary that he appointed who's against vaccines altogether.
Yes. Yeah. Came out this week again.
Yeah. So he's basically against public health. On and on and on. And he wants to invade Mexico militarily. How is that for me? What have I got? Where's the benefit to me on all that? I'm just a poor old guy. How is that helping me? Doesn't strike me that invading Mexico helps me, or a flat tax helps me. Flat tax hurts me.
But that's why they keep people diverted on all these other side issues and social issues rather than on the nitty-gritty. Most of the public doesn't get involved in policy type of things.
The Democrats have to point out why policy matters? I mean, if policy doesn't matter, government really doesn't matter.
Well, that's what the Republicans are trying to say, unless it helps them.
But it'll always help them because they control it. If policy doesn't matter to you, it'll matter to those for whom it does matter, who know how to make it work for them. After all, they get trillions in subsidies, literally trillions, between tax breaks and direct government subsidy, or the government pay for the research and development, which they then turn over to the companies. Right?
Elon Musk.
Yeah, exactly.
There's an example.
Yep.
And, he benefits. And, of course, this week the Democrats came out and quantified how much Donald Trump made as president of the United States or benefited.
$7.8 million direct payments to him.
From
foreign companies.
From China. Mostly from China.
$5 million of that from China, right. Exactly.
Mostly from China. But it's the Biden crime family.
Exactly.
That's dealing with China, you know.
All right. We've come to the end of this week, the beginning of the year. Anything coming up next week that you think about?
Snowstorms.
Yeah.
Ice storm. We'll see. It's January. We're going to have to see how as I said, they're going to try to impeach the Homeland Security Secretary. And then we're going to have to find out how they're going to work on this funding the government.
All right. That's coming up next week. It should be in the news next week. If it's not, that's the news.
Unless something else happens.
One way or the other, somebody's got to think about what to do about the government shutting down the middle of the month. The first week is over. The middle of the month is a week away. Right?
Yeah.
I'll see you next week.
We'll see you next week. All right. Have a good week.
Have a good week. You've been listening to Forward with Falk. Longtime Scranton political observer Dave Falk and WFTE's Jake Rosen discuss politics. Join them again next week, same time, same place.